We're coming to the really final discussion that I want to have on Asher Norman's book, 26 Reasons Why Jews Don't Believe in Jesus. All the way through this book, he's been arguing against the deity of Christ, been arguing against the messiahship of Jesus of Nazareth, been arguing against the credibility of the New Testament scripture, finding all of these supposed reasons why the belief in Jesus of Nazareth as the only redeemer of God's elect, the only mediator between God and men, is to be rejected. In favor of Jesus of Nazareth, in favor of the gospel of saving grace in Jesus Christ, he offers to both Jews and Gentiles a religion of works. If we keep the law of God, if Gentiles will know what it is to follow the Noachian covenant in refraining from this kind of food and that kind, then there'll be life for Gentiles. It's all a religion of works. But we believe that the works of righteousness end up nowhere in terms of satisfying God, of pleasing God, of earning salvation. We believe and affirm that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God, the only Redeemer, the only Mediator. I finish up, I say, with this final specific accusation that he makes concerning Jesus. And he says that the Jesus of Christianity was not real. He claims that all of the Bible's inconsistencies suggest that Jesus, as we believe in Jesus, is simply a literary composite of someone who may have been, at best, a minor character, an anti-Roman zealot of the first century, who we have deified, who we have turned in to the Messiah of God. He says that Jesus is a historical figure, just this minor character, has been transformed by myth to become the Christ of Christianity. That Jesus as the Savior of sinners is the figment of a Christian imagination. That Christianity is just the evolutionary development of religious ideas that have transformed some vague historical person named Jesus into the Christ of God that we believe to be the only Savior upon whom we are placing hope for our eternal destinies. Now, he argues this in various ways, and I must say, any Christian is going to find very offensive some of the statements that Norman makes concerning our blessed Savior in his exposition of this reason why we are to reject Christ, that Christianity, that Jesus of Christianity is not real. He argues, first of all, from historical evidence. He says that there are no secular historical accounts contemporary with Jesus or dealing with this period, ancient history, that identifies Jesus as the Messiah. And he gives various references from historians, secular historians, that don't mention Jesus. It's interesting that while they mention the Christ, and they mention one that was crucified and one that was part of this religious order that parallel what we read in the New Testament concerning Jesus, they don't directly identify Christ as Jesus. They talk about Christ. They talk about what we read in the New Testament happening. But because they don't equate that to someone called Jesus, Norman concludes then that there's no historic evidence that Jesus was this Christ they were talking about. He does admit that Josephus, a Jewish historian contemporary with the events of the New Testament, does mention a Jesus, unmistakably. But he gets around that by arguing that Josephus's, a Jewish historian, that Josephus's reference to Jesus was a Christian tampering with his text. He denies any historical evidence. There's evidence there of Christ, but because they don't mention Jesus, that's his argument. He links, and this to me was, I think, the most offensive to us, that he links Jesus with many of the mystery religions, comparing Jesus to Buddha, comparing Jesus to Krishna, to various other pagan deities, many of which were older than Christianity, many of them that had particular motifs and themes that paralleled what we see being true of Jesus of Nazareth. Even the Canaanite cults that were contemporary with Old Testament religion had various views of gods and deities as dying and rising, for instance, of being born of virgins. And Norman argues on the basis of all of these mystery religions that had these various themes and various motifs that parallel some of the truths about Jesus Christ, that Jesus is just an adaptation of all of these mystery cults, that Jesus then, and Christianity then, is nothing other than a pagan cult. To find out who Jesus was then, to find out who Jesus really was, we have to cut through all of the myth. We have to cut through all of those embellishments to find who historically the real Jesus of Nazareth was. And it's his contention, obviously, as it is the contention of unbelieving, critical, rationalistic theologians, that the Jesus of the Bible, that the Jesus of Christianity, is not the real historical Christ, the real historical Jesus. There has been often what is referred to as the quest for the historical Jesus. And I would submit to you that that is always a journey of unbelief, when you do not accept the biblical authority. What Norman is saying here is not unique to Judaism. I say there are critical views. Bultmann, for instance, argues that you have to demyth the scripture. You have to cut through all of the legends and all of the supernatural elements to see if we can find out who Jesus really was. A denial, again, of the authority. It all goes back to the denial of the absolute authority of the Word of God. God's Word is true. Revelation is true, or it's false. We believe, as Christians, we believe in the absolute authority of the Word of God. Now, what about, let's just make a comment here about these parallels. What about these parallels in some of the mystery religions, Buddhism and Hinduism, Baal worship in the Old Testament, that has some of the themes that do find the reality in Jesus Christ? And I can't deny it. I can't deny that in Baal theology, there are references to Baal consorting with a virgin and virgin birth even of some of these gods. I can't deny that Baal theology involved Baal dying, going down into the netherworld, and rising again because of the sacrifices and manipulation of the rituals of Baal worship. That was part of Baal theology. And there was an element of truth. There was an element of truth. When we go to all of the Old Testament, whether we're talking about the laws of the Old Testament, whether we're talking about the creation stories, whether we're talking about the flood story, whether we're talking about the gospel, there were parts of that that were evident in pagan religion. Now, if I can sum up very quickly here, understand that from the very beginning of creation, God revealed His Word. Scripture did not begin until Moses. God's revelation, His special revelation, was not inscripturated, it was not written down until the time of Moses. That would be the 15th century B.C. But from the beginning of God's dealing with fallen humanity, He revealed truth in various ways, sometimes through dreams, sometimes through visions, various ways that God revealed His truth. And at the beginning, the revelation of that truth was indiscriminate. It was not limited to this people or that people or another people. It was not until the time of the call of Abraham, after the fall of after the Tower of Babel incident, when Abraham was called of God, after that rebellion of man once again against the truth of God, that now we have a nation that ultimately is going to be established, Israel, through which and through whom the word of special revelation is going to be preserved and recorded. But prior to that, understand that prior to the call of Abraham, prior to the inscripturation then ultimately of the word of God, beginning at Moses, God had revealed his truth indiscriminately. There was the revelation, if you will, of the gospel to mankind. Here's this corpus of truth. Here's this corpus of truth that belonged to humanity. But now with the election of Abraham, and now with the beginning ultimately of the nation of Israel, special revelation is now going to be limited, is now going to be channeled, if you will, through that particular people. Paul refers to this in Romans chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, that it's through Israel now that all of this revelation is going to be given, ultimately coming to Christ himself. But prior to that time, here's a corpus of truth. But with the call of Abraham, with the beginning now of Israel and special revelation limited through Israel, here is the rest of humanity. The rest of humanity that is left alone with this corpus of truth, without divine superintendence, without the spiritual illumination, here's what always happens. That man left to himself with truth always perverts truth. So I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that even in these religions that predate the fulfillment of all of that gospel in Jesus Christ, that we have elements of truth that God created, that there was a flood, that there was a redemption that was going to come through this one that would die and would rise again prior to the coming of Christ. But I say there is the evidence of the truth of the gospel itself. That from the very beginning, God revealed the curse reverser to be this one that would die and would rise again. It is blasphemous. It is blasphemous. And I find the closing remarks here particularly of Norman to be blasphemous, that Jesus is nothing other than a myth, a pagan. Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, born of a virgin, the only Redeemer. And rather than being impressed with all of Norman's reasons why we ought to reject Jesus, I submit to you that if we come to the Bible with our eyes open, with our heart responsive, with the veil removed, that the Bible from beginning to end reveals that Jesus of Nazareth, born of the Virgin Mary, the eternal Son of God, becoming man, is the only Redeemer of God's elect, the only mediator between God and men. In the words of the psalmist, you kiss the Son. You kiss the Son lest he be angry and you perish from the way. But blessed are all they that put their trust in him.